reading to you from 1 Corinthians, and the 3rd chapter, and the 18th verse. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you thinks that he is wise in this age, let him become foolish, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness before God. For it is written, he is the one who catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the reasoning of the wise, that they are useless. Good evening, my dearest friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. And then 1 year later, God called me to preach. And my stars, I've been trying to do it ever since. Boy, I've made a lot of mistakes. And sometimes I say things that are kind of far out. But listen, it don't make a difference what I say. That's not important. It's what does the Bible say. That's the only true book that you'll find in this world, God's holy, unerring word. Well, listen, I'll be with you for a half an hour. Won't you kick off your slippers, sit back and relax? Pour you a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee or maybe a lemonade. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Jeremiah, the 18th chapter. And let's begin reading with the first verse. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I shall announce my words to you. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something on the wheel. But the vessel that he was making of clay was spoiled in the hand of the potter, so he remade it into another vessel, as it pleased the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, can I not, O house of Israel, deal with you as this potter does, declares the Lord. Behold, like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. We've named this marred, so he made it again. Now, four Bible writers speak of the potter and the clay. Isaiah, who had been given a vision of God's holiness. Jeremiah, who was known as a weeping prophet. Zechariah, who wrote so plainly of the crucified Christ. And then, of course, Paul, who had such a clear understanding of grace. Now, Jeremiah's message of the potter and the clay, told by the Lord to go to the potter's house. Friends, listen. When you're told to do something from the Lord, best you pay attention. I know a good dear friend of mine who God spoke to while she was washing dishes about a ministry that he had for her. That didn't surprise me at all. It didn't surprise me at all because God calls surrendered people. But if you're not surrendered, friend, you're going to have a whole lot of trouble serving the Lord the way he wants you to serve him. Well, he saw the potter at work forming a vessel. Now, the scene gave a message for Jeremiah's time and also ours. The third verse is, then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something on the wheel. Well, when Jeremiah saw, when he came to the potter's house, this is what he saw, a vessel of clay stacked for firing or use. Clay stored for making pottery. Now, clay in the potter's hand being formed for us. We are all made of the same clay. Now, all have evil hearts and sinful nature. And I read in Jeremiah 17:9, "The heart is more deceitful than all else, and is desperately sick. Who can understand it?" Well, the Bible also tells us in Romans 3:23, "We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God." See, that was a problem my wife had. First of all, she didn't think she was a sinner. Now, you know, and I know this might shock some of you, please don't be shocked, but I am so glad that I was an alcoholic. I'm not glad for what the things happened to me, no, or the things I did, but I'm so glad because, you see, had I not been an alcoholic, maybe I'd have went through life and never, ever accepted Christ. Maybe I'd have thought like my wife that I wasn't a sinner. But you know what changed her mind? I'll tell you what it did. She got under the gospel. She heard almost every Sunday, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Well, she couldn't understand why she had to be born again if she wasn't a sinner, but she found out Nicodemus, the great religious ruler and leader of the Jews, he was so stunned he couldn't believe that. Now, he was religious. Oh, yes, he was. But he was lost. Am I talking to someone tonight who is religious but lost? You've been to church ever since you was a little child. You've been baptized. You've taken the Lord's Supper. You joined a New Testament church. You read your Bible. You go to Sunday school. You go to two services on Sunday. But deep down in your heart, you know that you're lost as a woodpecker in a snowstorm. Oh, yeah, you do. Don't you tell me you don't know. You ask someone, where are you going to go when you die? Well, either they're going to tell you, well, I hope I'm going to heaven. Well, boy, howdy, I'm planning on going to heaven. That won't get it. That won't cut it. The Bible tells us in 1 John 5:13, "This is written that you may know that you have eternal life." Now, that's in the Scriptures. The Bible tells us all must give an account to God. That means every blessed one of us. Romans 14:12. "So then each one of us shall give an account of himself to God." Friends, he knows everything we've done, but we're going to have to tell him eyeball to eyeball. And I tell you right now, I'm not looking forward to that. Now, all are subject to temptation. And I read in 1 Corinthians 10:13, No temptation has overtaken you, but such is common to man, and God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, that you will be able to endure it. Friends, that was a scripture that God used on me when I quit smoking. Boy, there's no bigger, oh my stars. If you're listening tonight and you're a smoker and you want to quit, you know I know what you're talking, and I know what you're talking about. It's a hard thing to do, but the answer's right there. There's no temptation that has overtaken you, but such is common to man. And God is faithful. He'll not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, that you will be able to endure. Just remember that. I don't know what your temptation is tonight. And boy, I tell you, there's a lot of temptations out there. And the old devil's going to see that you're tempted every time you turn around. Hey, listen, beloved. It's no sin to be tempted. But what is sin is when you yield. If you don't yield to that temptation, it's not a sin. All must die and should be prepared. And Hebrews 9:27, "And inasmuch as it's appointed for men to die once, and after this comes the judgment," that means no purgatory. "The sameness of mankind calls for the understanding of others." Now, not to judge by race or face, but by grace. And again, the third verse, Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something on the wheel. Behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. Not just a work of chance, the design in the potter's mind. Now listen, the vessel rises on the wheel formed by his touch. Now the potter's plan is best for this piece of clay. Friend, listen to me, beloved. God has a plan for every life. That's right, every one of us, God has a plan for us. You say, but I'm insignificant, I'm a nobody, I'm just this, I'm that. I don't care how insignificant you think you are. So did Moses think he was insignificant. God called him to go down to Egypt to deliver those children of Israel. No, you're special. In fact, the matter is, beloved, you are the one, the reason that Jesus died. Oh, you are too. He took your sins and he took my sins upon him and he took them to the cross, yet he himself was sinless. That sin had to be paid for, and Jesus was the one that God sent to the earth to pay for our sins. The first part of that plan is salvation. Now, the unfolding of that plan involves full surrender. Oh, friends, listen, there's nothing worse than be halfway. Now, you can't be a halfway born again. You can't be a halfway born child. Either you're born or you're not born. But a full surrender means that you're willing and you're able and you're ready to do the will of God. Now, the fulfilling of that plan reveals the potter's work on us. The Bible said we are his workmanship. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. What for? For good works. Now, we are his work of art. Yes, we are, and I read in 1 Peter 2:9, but ye are a chosen race, a royal priesthood. Can you imagine that? That's what you get when you repent of your sins and cry out to God to save you. You get all that. You get a mansion. You get your name written in the Lamb Book of Life. The who's who. Man, you know, in 1989, I was inducted into the who's who Christian leaders of America, and I sure didn't deserve it. No, I didn't. Billy Graham got in there the same time I did. He deserved it, but I sure didn't. But anyway, the wheel speaks of circumstances by his, but his hand is what? Upon us. Listen, have you experienced problems you didn't think you would? I'll bet you have. Have you gone through trials you didn't think you could? Bet you have. Now, I'm telling you, I've told you before, and I'll tell you again. I'm the biggest coward there is when it comes to doctors. Ooh, what a coward. And I told you the morning I had my cancer operation, the night before I went in for my cancer operation. You know, the big C, that's a scary word. And I prayed, Lord, help this to be like a walk through the park. Help me not to be afraid, but to trust you all the way. Bless the doctors. Lead their hands. May they do a first-class job. Now, I tell you, I didn't sleep too good that night. The next morning at 5 o'clock, I was in there prepping for the operation. And as they were putting on those women's socks on my legs, did you know all of a sudden a peace came over me like you cannot believe? I couldn't wait to get in that old place and get operated on. The next scene is when I came to, and my granddaughter, who was a nurse, was feeding me Jell-O. You know, to know the potter's heart, you must come to the cross. And to know the potter's hand, you must see them nails scarred. Oh, friends, I can't envision really putting him on that cross and driving those spikes in his hands and his feet and put that thorn of crowns on his head. Oh, friends, and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What a forgiving God. What a loving Savior. And then he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Well, I was a baby Christian first time I heard that, and it made me sick, and I cried, Lord, if you sent Jesus to the cross to die for me and the sins of the world, why are you turning your back on him? Well, God is a holy, righteous God. He can't look on sin. When he looks on sin, he looks on the blood of Jesus. That's why I hate him to take that song, There's Power in the Blood, out of our song books. We don't sing that much anymore, but there is power in that blood. And that blood can't be washed off, too, friends. And it don't run. No, it don't. Well, in verse 4, it says, making again. But the vessel that he was making of clay was spoiled in the hand of the potter. So he remade it into another vessel. The flaw was found, unseen by others, but known to the potter. Now the potter makes a vessel all over again. No, he don't throw it away. He doesn't throw it away. He makes it again of the same clay. Now it pleases the potter. Oh, friends, listen to me. Excuse me. When we go to prison, I see those men in a gray uniform. Now, see, there's three different kind of prisons in our prisoners. The gray ones are the men that are going up for a long stretch of time. Those in the orange uniform are short-timers, we call them. And I tell them, men, listen to me. I know you did a terrible sin, and I'm not condoning you. Oh, no, I'm not. But I'm here to tell you the Lord wants to make you over again. Yes, he does. You see, but Cecil, they'd say, well, I stole a car. Another one says, well, I got caught selling pot. That one says this and that. I said, it doesn't make a hell of a bean difference what you did that brought you here. The Lord wants to speak to you while you're here. That's why he sends me and my wife here to tell you this truth from the unerring word of God, that there is a way out. There's a way out, and it's through Jesus. Now, let me tell you a little story, friends. When an inmate comes into prison, regardless of whether it's a state or federal prison or what it is, if they don't take Jesus with them, 85% of those men will return to prison. And I assure you, I give them those stats. I said, you'd better take Jesus with them. I don't know how many times men have told me, well, you know, Cecil, I've heard you speak two or three times, and I was in the first time and the second time. Now I'm in the third time. You know what? I'm going to start paying attention to what you said. I said, you best. I said, you know what? And friends, this is truth. Every time you hear the gospel, every time an invitation is given and you turn your back and walk out, your heart becomes just a little harder. And it's going to be harder next time when you hear or when you feel that tugging at your heart. The morning I was saved, beloved, I knew that I never would have another chance. I knew that. I had to say yes that morning. Are you fully surrendered to the potter's design and touch? As you yield, he will make you over again as it pleases him. Friends, listen. God loves you. God wants to save you. And I know this, my friends. Some of you are going through a living hell right now. You've made a mess of your life, and you've done things that you shouldn't do. Maybe you've been unfaithful to your husband or unfaithful to your wife. You can get rid of that today if you come with a repentant heart and tell him you're sorry and invite him into your heart to save you. He can make of you, he'll make you a new vessel. Oh, yes, he will. Now, let me ask you this. Are you ready today? Do you feel a little old tugging at your heart? If you do, bow your head with me right now. And beloved, I beg of you, please don't pray this if you don't mean it. And this is how the prayer goes. Kind Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord, I'm sorry for all the things I've done in my life. Tonight I'm opening my heart and receiving you as my Lord and Savior in Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer, I want you to get on the phone and call 303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303-303 I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down and write and ask you for money. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. Don't care where you go to church. Won't you give me a call? 303-471-8534. And if you'd like to, you don't understand what I'm talking about, call me collect. I'll accept the charge. 303-471-8534. I'm waiting for your call. For the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe, and I hope and pray that it helped you and encouraged you. Listen, I know we're living in troubled times, but I want you to know something good's about to happen pretty quick. Jesus is coming back, and he's going to rapture his church. Now, that don't mean Baptist, Catholic. That means those who have been born again. They're the only ones that are going to be raptured. The dead will be raptured first, and those of us who remain alive should be taken up to be with him forever and ever. Well, friends, please pray for my wife and I. Pray for our health. And pray that we'll be able to come out to the West Coast in September and be able to speak in a couple of churches out there and see some of our loved ones and friends. I haven't been out there for years, and that's where I was born and raised. Well, friends, until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up for this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. And good night, and may God bless you real, real good.